King of Swing.
Both candidates hope to be the King of Swing this November. President Obama is swinging through Ohio and Pennsylvania this week.
When the American auto industry was on the brink of collapse, and more than 1 million jobs were on the line, Governor Romney said we should just let Detroit go bankrupt. I refuse to turn my back on communities like this.
Ohio's maybe the most crucial swing state in this presidential election. That's a fact that the president acknowledged when he was in Sandusky, Ohio, yesterday.
It is a really, really want-to-win situation here in Ohio, partly because I think Ohio's representative of a lot of the country. You know, it's gone through tough times, not just since the financial crisis, for the last two decades.
There are a number of states that could go to either candidate, and here with a better, I guess, a better definition of swing. Anna Sale, a reporter for our co-producer WNYC's It's a Free Country. Anna, nice to see you.
Thank you.
You know, not everybody agrees on what's a swing state and what isn't, except Ohio is always in that category, right?
Yes, yes. Ohio, always perennial swing state.
Well, let's begin with Ohio, because it looks right now as though it favors Obama, possibly because the rebound in the manufacturing industry.
Well, Ohio has swung back and forth in recent polls. It's going to be a fight to the finish in that state. 18 electoral votes there in the state of Ohio. You heard Obama, President Obama, making his case yesterday that he is the better leader for jobs in Ohio, talking about the auto bailout, emphasizing that that's something he supported, something Mitt Romney, you know, said not so much. And he also talked about the health care law. He said this is a law that's here to stay. But his message primarily was jobs, and the jobs aren't coming back fast enough, but I'm the leader to make more jobs come back.
And that works in Ohio because the unemployment rate is going down.
The unemployment rate is improving. It's been improving for the last 10 months up through May, and that's created a kind of interesting dynamic because you'll remember the governor of Ohio is a Republican, John Kasich. Doesn't support President Obama. And so he's in this position of having to say, yes, we're having progress here in Ohio, but, you know, look at Washington. Things aren't going well there. So take a listen to this. This is how he sort of talked about it last month, describing that things, there's still a climate of uncertainty because Washington's not doing their job, but that things in Ohio are going okay regardless of that.
Rome is on fire, and it's singeing places like Ohio. And I'm just very concerned about it. We've been making great progress. We started to see some progress out of D.C. We'll go our own way, but the headwinds are, you know, they're kicking up again.
That's a tough argument to make.
He's, yeah, sort of trying to split the baby there a little bit.
I'm just harkening back to Solomon. But, okay, so if we know Ohio is going to be a swing state, what are some of the other states we know will be swing? I'm assuming Florida.
Yeah, you got to look at Florida. That has the same situation where, you know, things are improving in Florida. You've got Rick Scott, the governor there, who has been touting that jobs, you know, the improved economy there. And there was actually a report in Bloomberg last month that the Romney campaign was telling the Scott office, hey, why don't you tamp that down a little bit and talk about how if Romney were president, jobs would be coming back even more quickly. But this week, Rick Scott has been out saying that the health care law is where he's most concerned, that they do not want to do the Medicaid expansion in Florida. They don't want to spend that extra taxpayer money. So he's hammering on Obama on the health care law.
And in a state where there's obviously a lot of senior voters who turn out in droves, how does that play?
Well, you know, we have to see. Florida has gone back and forth. That's going to be one of those states that just, you know, Ohio, Florida, definite toss-ups. A lot of the other states on the swing state list have, you know, you're sort of seeing swings either way. But that's what's kind of interesting when you look at the Obama campaign and their strategy to try to insulate from if they lose in Florida and Ohio, where could they make up those electoral votes? And that's when you start looking at states like Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, their Western strategy is what they call it, and a way to, if they lose in Florida and Ohio, they could still rack up the electoral votes necessary to win the presidency.
All right, so let's take a look at these Western states, and it has been interesting over the past few presidential elections, the way some of them have become swing states in the way they never were before. Where is these electoral votes up for grab at the most?
Well, you see a state like Nevada. So
right.
So went for
Harry Reid's home state
by 12 points for Obama in 2008. And that's a state where demographics are certainly looking like they are going towards the Democrats' advantage. The share of the Latino share of the electorate and the black share of the electorate expanded in 2008. state, the white share can shrunk a little bit, and so they feel good that this is that it's part of a demographic shift in the West that's moving towards the Democrats' advantage. And so you've got the La Raza, which is a big Latino civil rights group, having their annual meeting in Nevada next week. Joe Biden's scheduled to speak there, trying to sort of cement that advantage for the Obama campaign.
All right, but we have to talk about North Carolina. Let's leave the West for just a moment, because obviously the Democrats are investing there. This is a state that President Obama surprised everyone by taking in 2008. They've put their convention there in September, which has annoyed a lot of people. It's been controversial because it's a right-to-work state. Who will get North Carolina?
Well, North Carolina certainly looks like it's moving the other way. I mean, President Obama won that state by just a sliver, and it's looking like it's moving from a toss-up state to a lean Republican state, if you look at things like the Cook Political Report. And just look at local politics there, what's going on right now. Just this week, the legislature has overridden vetoes by the Democratic governor three times, including the budget, including regulations on fracking. She's not running for reelection. There was a sexual harassment scandal in the state Democratic Party. So there's a little bit of just disarray. And so you do have the Democrats having their big annual party, their convention there in Charlotte, but it doesn't look like it's a state that's you know, leaning Democratic at this point.
So, you know, so often, Anna, swing states end up getting all of the attention. I mean, it comes down to that presidential candidates take certain states for granted, and then they visit the ones where they could actually, where it could be a toss-up, as you say. Is that what's going to happen in this election? Are there safe enough states that the candidates can ignore them?
There are safe enough states and there are safe enough voting blocks where really what we're going to see is the campaigns fighting over, you know, 10% of the electorate in about 10 states. And so that's why It's a Free Country. We're heading out on the road next week and starting to go to some of these states and these key communities, talking to people in places like the Denver suburbs. How are they feeling about President Obama and Mitt Romney? How are they feeling about the economy? Trying to get a sense of, in these key voter demographics, what people are saying.
You're going to Iowa and Wisconsin as well. Iowa is a toss-up?
Iowa is a swing state this year. So is New Hampshire. So we'll be hearing more from those New Hampshire and Iowa voters. Primary season wasn't enough. Expect to hear more from them.
Anna Sale, reporter for our co-producer, WNYC's It's a Free Country, racking up those road miles. Thanks so much, Anna.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.